This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Well, last Sunday we learned about the time that Jesus intentionally traveled through Samaria in order to reveal himself as the Savior of all sinners to people who did not know the truth about salvation. The vast majority of Jews in Jesus' day would not even travel through Samaria, much less talk to a Samaritan person. And the reason for this is that the Samaritans were descended from Jews who had intermarried with the pagan peoples of the land, and the result was that they compromised the truth of God's word. However, as we learned last week, the Jews themselves were guilty of compromising God's word because they failed to see how the entire Old Testament pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Instead, the vast majority of Jews in Jesus' day had twisted and contorted the Old Testament into a teaching of meritorious works righteousness, where one earned or merited God's love and mercy. Sadly, we still have the same problem today. Not only do many people deny God's existence or worship false gods, but even many who claim the name Christian believe that they'll be saved because their good deeds supposedly outweigh their bad deeds. Well, the good news is that God's truth has come into this world to proclaim to us that we can be rescued from the lies of the evil one and receive salvation from the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is why Jesus intentionally traveled through Samaria. He came into this world to seek and save the lost. Last Sunday, we heard how Jesus knew that this Samaritan woman had had five husbands throughout her life, and that the man she was currently living with was not her husband. You might recall the woman was astounded that Jesus knew all these details about her, including her current sinful lifestyle. And as a result, she was convinced that Jesus was a prophet, although she did not yet realize that Jesus was actually God himself in human flesh. In addition, this woman was filled with guilt and shame because Jesus had just pointed out the fact that she was living in rebellion against God. And as a result, she wanted to know where she could find forgiveness and a new life. And then Jesus said the following: "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." So what does that mean? Well, simply put, Jesus was pointing out the fact that the Holy Spirit works through the preaching of God's word to lead people to the truth. And the truth is that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, if this Samaritan woman wants forgiveness for her sin, she needs to trust in Jesus as her Lord and Savior. With that understood, last Sunday's gospel reading tells us how the woman responded to what Jesus said. Listen again. "The woman said to Jesus, 'I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.' Then Jesus declared, 'I, the one speaking to you, I am he.' Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him." Do you see what happened there? The Holy Spirit worked through God's word to reveal the truth to this woman. The truth that Jesus himself was the very Messiah that God had promised to send into the world. So, this woman went back to her community and told everyone what Jesus had said to her. And as a result, the people of the town began traveling out to meet Jesus. And that's where last Sunday's gospel reading left off. Today, we pick up where we left off last Sunday. Today's gospel reading begins with these words: "Meanwhile, Jesus' disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?' 'My food,' said Jesus, 'is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" So, what's this all about? Well, first, in last Sunday's gospel reading, we learned that while Jesus was speaking with the Samaritan woman, his disciples went to town to buy food. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus' disciples show up just as Jesus is finishing his conversation with the Samaritan woman. After she leaves, notice, they do not say, "Hey, Jesus, were you able to convince her that you are her Lord and Savior?" No, that's not what they say. Sadly, they say, "Rabbi, eat something." Apparently, they're concerned that Jesus is hungry, and my guess is that they're probably feeling really hungry too, which is why they want to eat. But Jesus has more important things on his mind. So Jesus says to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." But the disciples still think Jesus is talking about regular food, so they wonder if someone else brought him something to eat. Well, at this point, Jesus tries to clarify things for them. You see, when Jesus says that he has food that they don't know about, what Jesus means is that even though he may indeed be physically hungry, he has an even greater hunger for something else. And his greater hunger is for God's mission in this world, which is saving people from their sin and their unbelief. Jesus then goes on to stress his point by using agricultural language. He points out the fact that the disciples know that when they plant seeds in a field, it takes about 4 months before it's ready to harvest. But then Jesus explains that God has been sowing spiritual seed, and they don't even have to wait for the harvest because the harvest is ready now. In fact, Jesus says all this just as the people from the community are coming out to hear him and what he has to say. Simply put, Jesus is saying that God is like a sower and a reaper. God sows the seed of his word in this world with the goal of reaping a harvest of people for his eternal kingdom. In addition, Jesus also points out that his disciples get to play a part in this sowing and reaping as they proclaim God's word and thereby harvest people for God's kingdom. Now, we can learn something from all this. Like Jesus' disciples, we are often guilty of focusing on earthly things and forgetting about the mission of Christ's church. Now, please understand, there's nothing wrong with eating a meal when you're hungry. God knows we need to eat. But the fact is that the devil can often distract us with all the material things of this world, and the result is that we forget about the spiritual food that we need more than anything. For example, in our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, we heard what God said to his people when they were wandering through the desert. He said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." In addition, in our reading from 2 Timothy, we are reminded how important it is for us to meditate on and grow in our knowledge of Holy Scripture, especially because Holy Scripture points us to Jesus and the hope we have in him. Therefore, in today's gospel reading, we learn from Jesus that we need to be aware of the fact that God wants to use us to sow his word in this world and be prepared to reap a harvest when the Holy Spirit uses God's word to bring people to repentance and faith in Jesus. With that understood, today's gospel reading ends with these words. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Like that Samaritan woman, God will use you to tell other people about Jesus. And as a result, they may start reading a Bible at home, or if you invite them, they may start attending a Bible class here at Concordia or attending one of our services. And as those people read their own Bibles for themselves, as they hear me proclaim God's word to them, they will be touched by the very words of Jesus that touched your heart. And as a result, they may say, "Hey, we no longer believe just because of what you told us. Now that we have read the Bible for ourselves, and now that we have heard your pastor proclaim God's word to us, we have heard Jesus' voice for ourselves. My dear Christian friends, I know that being a witness for Jesus in our world today can be a scary thing. I mean, I've been a pastor for almost 30 years, and I still get nervous about witnessing to other people. But having said that, the fact is you do not need to be a professional theologian to be a witness for Jesus. Like that Samaritan woman, you can simply tell people who Jesus is and what he has done for you, and let the Holy Spirit do his work. In addition, you can invite people to come with you to Bible classes and services at this church where they can hear your pastor proclaim the good news about Jesus to them. In fact, I recently ordered a new evangelism kit from our Concordia Publishing House titled Everyone His Witness. Our evangelism committee is going to review it with the goal of offering this program for the members of our congregation. So look forward to hearing more about that in the future. In closing, like that Samaritan woman, I want you to know and believe that Jesus came to you through his word and spoke to you so that you could believe in him and receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God through faith in him. In fact, like that Samaritan woman, you have various sins in your life that bring you shame and guilt. But Jesus has come to you with his mercy, and he has given you a new life. My friends, Jesus washed you from guilt and shame when he adopted you as his own in the waters of holy baptism. And Jesus continues to speak his words to you as you attend the services and Bible classes offered here at Concordia. And as you come to his holy supper at this altar, he gives you his very body and blood, assuring you that you are forgiven and that he himself dwells within you. And finally, my friends, not only will Jesus work through his word to give you comfort and hope, Jesus will also use his word to prepare you to be an articulate witness for him in this world. Amen.